Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeta, Evan Basilek, Russell Young, and Sujeet DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information, should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 219, being recorded on the 7th of March, 2018, with special guest Sonia Gupta. I'm Sujeet, and on Skype with me, I have Kale. Russell, I think, is also with us, Cynthia, and our special guest, Sonia. And before we get to Sonia and give her a chance to talk about a topic that we haven't discussed in a while on the podcast, we'll give her a moment to talk about that later. Let's talk about some of the new updates in the Azure space. A bit of a dry week, I noticed. For example, we did have this. I think the one that I liked most was the Azure for Students. I think it's something that has been there from before, but it has become more widely talked about this past week. And this is a new, it's a new offering. You know, it gives students a chance to play around with Azure without any cost. That's always been a barrier for them to move in. You could apply for a free Azure subscription, but there was always that, you know, you didn't get too much credit out of that. You could only do some of the basic features of Azure, and now you kind of get $100 a month credit for students. You need a student ID, of course, a student email account. And for a whole year, you can try out various features in Azure, including all the open source things that we do, the artificial intelligence, the big data, web and mobile apps, etc. So there's a lot of stuff that they can use this for, the Azure feature. So I'm really excited about that one. And I know there's an update that Evan put in here. Normally he'd talk about it, but since he's not here, I will discuss it. And this is a soft delete for storage blobs. So storage blobs, have that feature where you could delete something, but once you delete it, it's kind of gone forever. And I think they're now previewing this soft delete feature, which is something that is interesting and I think will be well appreciated by our customers. Well, I think that's... Go ahead, Kale.
Along with the blob storage... Yeah, something I saw pop up on my radar, but I haven't been able to find it again, is a common scenario, again, with blob storage, is replication or, like, syncing. I did see something just recently around the potential for, you know, something like that in Azure. Just wondering, and maybe this is a thing out to listeners, too, if we could get some feedback on if that's something they look into. I know from enterprise customers, folks I used to work with, they, kind of wanted this feature. We have GRS, which basically allows, you know, the sister data center to replicate data for disaster recovery purpose. But in some use cases, a customer also wants to replicate to predefined regions. So almost like a CDN, but you have control of it a little bit. And I actually wanted to try this a little bit, like put this out to the listeners to see, is that something that's a common use case that they're seeing, you know, needing to be able to control kind of where replication happens to from blob storage?
Okay, so you're saying where does it replicate out to other regions or other data centers and things like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly, being able to target. So if I'm in East US and I publish some stuff there, maybe I automatically want to replicate to Western Europe and maybe India region, but not to Australia or something like that. Those kind of scenarios.
And this would apply to things like data sovereignty and those kind of restrictions that you have in your data, where it's important where it goes to.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, but the other part is just... Sorry, go ahead.
Could just be audiences deployed in those countries, I guess. But yeah, I see the use case. I can see how you could do it with automation out of the box at the moment, just by adding some automation scripts in there with AZ copy or something like that. But yeah, interesting.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so if our listeners have any thoughts on that or any of those needs that you've seen arise in your company or in your customer, please let us know. We'll get somebody to talk about that. Russell, do you have any comment on the peering for the route filters for Express Route? Do you know anything about that update that was in the show notes?
No, I'm sorry, I don't know. The one that I was looking at, I don't know if you discussed it because I joined the call a little bit late, but the App Insights enhancements, have you discussed those ones still?
No, please go ahead and talk about that.
Okay, so there's just a few extra features put in there now. So it's a bit of an improved UI. But one thing I found with App Insights, it was always difficult to get a nice view on sort of concurrent users through the day and how sessions are coming and going and what's going on with that. So there's a new page for doing that that looks quite nice. And there's two other features in there as well. So one is about, they call it the impact tool, but it's basically around trying to figure out if you've got certain pages that take a long time to load, and because of that slow loading time of that particular page, are users bouncing and disappearing off your site? So they call it the impact tool because I guess it's, you know, is the result of slow performance causing your users actually to disappear from your site? And the other one's just a little bit more on the graphical ability to, and capabilities around the user flows. So what navigation they follow throughout your site, so where they go from when the session starts all the way through. Again, nice little options that kind of, I'm guessing other products that do this kind of web clicking type stuff already do. So they're adding to those. It's nice.
No, that's very, very useful. I know that my customer, they use third-party tools because of these gaps in AI, but it'd be nice to have, and they are using Application Insights as well, so all the more reason not to rely on the third-party tool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Any other updates, Russell, you want to talk about before we turn to our special guest?
Not that I've seen that are sort of noteworthy for this week.
Okay. Awesome. Well, then let's turn over to Sonia. Sonia, thanks so much for joining. I know it's late where you are, but why don't you introduce yourselves and give our listeners a feel for what your passion is in the Azure space.
Yeah, so thanks a lot for inviting me to the show. I'm Sonia Gupta, Program Manager with Azure Backup. I'm too excited to talk about all the features, and Azure Backup has come a long way from the time we last had a discussion on what's and why's of Azure Backup, which was years ago. So yes, I'm too excited to talk about Azure Backup, all the new offerings that we have, and everything end to end.
Great. And how long have you been involved with Azure Backup?
Yeah, so the good part is that I'll be completing 1 year soon. So, yeah, I've been working with Azure Backup since last 10 to 11 months.
That's awesome. And it's really good to hear someone who gets excited about backup, you know, because, you know, I got to say, that's one of the things that customers talk about the least. But we all know that's probably the most important thing they should be talking about, which is backing up their stuff. And it's stuff that happens in the background. I know that.
Yeah, but, So what I have been seeing is that the backup forms the most boring part. What they feel is that backup is just storing, and then in case of some disaster or some unfortunate event, yes, we'll use it. But today I'll let all of you know that how important backup is in today's scenario.
Okay, great. And I know it's kind of permeated itself to almost all the Azure services now, right? There's Azure Backup, it's permeating itself everywhere. But let's start with, you know, so give us your feel for, you know, why Azure or Backup is important for customers. What's the, I mean, obviously there's the obvious thing with disaster recovery, but what are the other reasons why customers should be thinking about Azure Backup?
Yeah, so I would first start with why to take a backup. So backup works like an insurance for you. So in today's era, say the age of digital transformation, where data is becoming very important. So scenarios like your data loss scenarios, where you have a fat finger deletion, or maybe your data is corrupted. And also, as we have seen, that ransomware attacks, we recently get to see that every day some customer or the other is being attacked by ransomware. And apart from that, the compliance issues or the legal litigation related issues that the customers are facing. So in these kind of scenarios, you have a backup, so you are secured. Now, where does Azure Backup come into picture? Is that there are many backup solution providers that a customer can go to. Why does he need to come to Azure Backup? What extra offering do we have? So here I would like to highlight is that Azure Backup keeps all the cloud promises, starting from your freedom from infrastructure, where the customer need not worry about infrastructure if he's having Azure Backup. Then cloud economics and the infinite scaling option that we offer. If, say, a customer scales up or down in his enterprise, he need not worry about the backup solution. The entire thing will be taken care by Azure Backup. Apart from that, we offer pay as you go. So the customer need not worry about the cost issues. And also, many of the customers are hybrid customers. They are not completely on cloud, and also they have some resources on-prem. So Azure Backup gives you a complete, that is a single solution across their entire deployment. Apart from that, I would say that it gives you a single pane of glass, that is, it is a self-service. The application admin can come to the Azure portal and manage all his resources. So he need not worry about management at scale or depending upon the infrastructure admin. So the application admin in himself is independent enough to go to the portal and manage all the resources. So yeah, Azure Backup has much more to it. I'll discuss that in detail as go further.
One question there I just wanted to hit on. I wasn't even aware of that. So there's a scenario, what you described there, where usually the issue with backup, right, is, you know, the ones that are backed up when they originally set up the backup solution, they're covered, right? Everything's taken care of. But then, you know, new servers come and they forget that, or somehow it gets missed. So you're saying there's an offering to basically be able to catch all those too. So as you provision new stuff, it's just taken care of for you. You don't even need to go do a separate operation. Is that right?
Yes. So the customers may have deployments on cloud, that is IaaS VMs, or they may have on-prem servers. So we offer a single pane of glass. That is, the customer can go to the Azure portal and be aware of all the resources that he's managing in a vault. Apart from that, I'll also come to the other offerings which helps customers manage their resources better.
That's awesome. Now, how about, like, when should, like, you know, when customers typically, you know, we get it, I'm with MCS, and we talk to customers about building Azure solutions. I mean, you know, where in the discussions with them should we talk about backup, right? Like when should customers start thinking about it? Because often it's like, you know, the last thing to think about. And, you know, I always think that's not the right time to think about it.
Yeah, so we need to change this perception. See, as I mentioned, that backup works as an insurance for you. So you never know when you can be attacked by a ransomware attacker, or your data can go corrupt. So it can be on day zero or day 100. So you're never sure. So backup requirement for backup starts on day zero, from the day you start your deployments, I would say.
Okay. And I know you talked about data backup, but what about, you know, workloads themselves, right? The virtual machines, for example, that's not necessarily data. That's really a snapshot of a virtual machine. Is that something that they should be thinking about, like also capturing the workloads?
Yeah, so all of that captures workloads. It's not like I'm saying that it captures only data. So we have many new offerings. Say we offer workloads, I would say that it's not like if you are taking a snapshot of the IES, the data is not captured. At the end of the day, it is all about data, right? So the backend infrastructure works by taking snapshots. You're right in saying that. But the data that is taken through snapshots is stored in the Azure Recovery Services vault.
Okay, so let's take a couple of simple scenarios, right? Like we have a simplest scenarios, you have a bunch of VMs and maybe a SQL Server database or some sort. And so in that scenario, we can back up, of course, all the VMs, take snapshots of them, as you said, but also we can have a corresponding backup of the database, right? Is that correct?
A very good question. In fact, this is the new offering that is coming out of Azure Backup. So till a few months back, we had an offering where the customers used to take the backup of the entire IaaS VM in which the SQL was running. But recently, we launched a new scenario where the customer can even back up his workload, which is the SQL server in this case. So he can back up SQL running in an IaaS separately, where he can get a backup of I would say restore points as far as, say, for every second, every minute, the customer can have a restore point. So that is that kind of a workload I think you're talking about.
I had a question. I don't know if Russell has any, but I did have a question because this is a common scenario that comes up. So when we talk about, you just discussed like SQL Server data workload and the ability for us to take a snapshot of a VM or even like database, it sounds like, to make sure that we can have a restore point. My question is, if we have open source software, so let's say MongoDB or something else, you know, running, so some other data platform running on top of that ISVM, when we take that snapshot, is there any kind of magic there to kind of help us with making sure that data is consistent, you know, when we restore it over there? that it can be used kind of
thing. Yeah. So the good news is that Azure Backup offers you application consistent backups. And earlier we were only covering the Windows VMs. Recently we launched, we went GA with a new feature called application consistent backups for Linux VMs as well. So yeah, application consistent snapshots are taken and stored in the Azure Recovery Services Vault for Windows as well as Linux VMs. And how it all works, I would like to tell you, I think there's some confusion here in the understanding. So how it all works is, suppose you have a VM. So what Azure Backup Service does is, it takes a snapshot of your data at that point in time, and then that snapshot, that the incremental changes that have taken place from the last snapshot are transferred to the recovery services vault. So that is how it all works.
Okay, for the application consistent backups to work properly, does the service need to be aware of the specific applications that it's dealing with, or is it agnostic?
Yeah, so the customer the service is definitely aware of the applications that are running.
But are they specific applications that are supported? Are they specific types of application, or is it just any application? Is there like a list of services that, or applications that we know about that it can then back up?
I would not be able to answer the complete. I would not be able to give a complete answer to this. But yes, say for Linux VMs, we have pre-scripts and post-scripts. So the scripts are outsourced, right? They are being an open source environment, the customer can write his own scripts. So depending on the application, he can modify his scripts and make it customized to suit his environment.
Okay. So using that, then it doesn't actually matter what the application is, as long as we can, or as long as the application vendor or the person that's hosting the application knows that we want support backup, then he can pause it or do whatever needs to happen beforehand to allow the backup to happen and then continue afterwards.
Yes. So for Windows VMs, it has an inbuilt functionality. Windows has an inbuilt functionality where you can freeze and unfreeze before and after the snapshot is taken. So similarly, as I explained for Linux VMs, we run a pre-script and a post-script,
right,
which makes the system aware that this is the kind of application and there are no changes made in between the pre-script and the post-script when the snapshot is taken. So it is application consistent.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
That's super cool because we used to have to do all that manually. So, I mean, it seems like a small thing, a pretty big impact. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I was going to ask, you know, Kale is big into blockchain. I was going to ask, is do we need a blockchain backup facility, Kale?
Why would we need backup? The data is everywhere.
The data is everywhere. That's right. It can be corrupted. Correct. I forgot about that.
Right.
That's good. So give us some of the, you know, I'm keeping in mind that this is a public podcast. So what are some of the features we can look forward to in Azure Backup that you guys are planning on or maybe in preview at this time?
Yeah. So before we come to the new features that we are going to offer, let me talk a little bit about what we are already offering to make our listeners happy.
Sure.
So the customers have been frequently coming with the common challenges that they have been facing. Listing a few of them, starting with their compliance needs, then once their security and compliance needs are fulfilled, next they want is a good backup and restore performance. That is, they want to send the data quickly, recover more quickly. And apart from that, they also want management at scale. So capturing all these things, on top of that, they also want a cost-friendly model. So I'm happy to announce that, yeah, Azure Backup fulfills all these challenges and also offers you the best cost in market. Starting with security and compliance. For compliance, Azure Backup offers you a long-term retention plan where you can have 9,999 recovery points per protected instance, which is as much as if you take daily backups, it will be retained for 27 years. For security, we offer Azure Disk Encryptions, which I'll talk about shortly. And then for sending the data quickly, we have offline seeding. So through the process of offline seeding, Azure Backup can use disks to upload the compressed initial backup data offline to Azure. The offline seeding process of Azure Backup is tightly integrated with Azure Import-Export Service that enables you to transfer data to Azure by using disks. So suppose the customer has terabytes of initial backup data. So he can use the offline seeding workflow to ship the initial backup copy on one or more hard drives to an Azure data center, and he's good to go. So for recovering quickly, now the data has been sent, but the customer is stuck with some disaster or data corruption and he wants to recover quickly. So we have recently announced a new feature called Instant Recovery. So Instant RP helps the customer to recover in a few minutes, because the recovery takes place from the local storage account where we store the snapshots for as long as 7 days. And as soon as the customer feels the need to recover or restore his data, he can quickly do that from his local storage account. For management at scale, we offer a rich reporting and monitoring capabilities, and cost, as I already mentioned, we offer pay-as-you-go model. So yeah, these are the customer challenges we have been answering to in our last few years of our journey.
That's great. So, a quick question on that, though. Now, do we offer like the cold storage and the warm storage kind of backup, or is it just one tier for backup?
Yeah. So currently, it is only hot storage. But yeah, we are, this is in our roadmap. So we are working on it and can promise you to deliver it soon, so the customers can look forward to.
That's great. And yeah, that's very good. Okay, so what else can the customer look forward to coming up?
Customers seeing the ransomware attacks, I would like to talk a bit about ransomware attacks.
Sure.
As well, because this is the most common scenario that we have seen. Earlier, people were not very much worried that, okay, their data is safe in their storage accounts, but seeing the trend of the ransomware attacks, Azure Backup offers an enhanced security. So how do we deliver this? As they said, that protection is better than cure, we offer you a rich mechanism where the users can have security PIN for multiple layers of authentication. They can use Azure Backup supports Azure Disk Encryption. Then we have hybrid backup encryption and storage side encryption to make the data more secure. And also, we offer role-based access controls for restricted access to key operation. Not only this, suppose the customer has configured all of these, we also offer alerting mechanisms where portal-based alerts for critical operations like re-encrypting data using passphrase and all these kind of alerts are sent on the portal. And on top of this, even if the customer doesn't go to the portal and ignores the alerts, we have email notifications, which if the customer configures, so as soon as the operation, say, deletion of a backup happens, an email is sent to the configured email ID. This also ignored by the customer. So on top of that, suppose there's a ransomware attack and the attacker deletes the data. So to secure for in these kind of scenarios, what we offer is an additional 14 days. So the data, even if it is deleted, it is stored on cloud for additional 14 days so that the customer is covered from all kind of severe attacks that he may face.
That's very impressive. That's a good explanation. Yeah, I mean, ransomware can happen at various levels, and you're covering all possible levels, which is good.
Yeah. So talking about the roadmap, I'm too much excited about all the features that you offer. That, yeah, I'm talking a lot. But yes, this is all out of excitement.
It's great, because backup's normally such a dry subject, isn't it? People don't really get excited about it. It's nice to see your excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah, so in the roadmap, the features that I was talking about, these are all available to the users. Apart from this, that I already explained, application consistent backups, long-term retention, and also what we offer is item-level recovery. So if the customer does not want to restore the entire VM, he can go and recover a single item. He can mount the disk and restore a single item out of his VM. So the process can be as quick as just mount the disk and recover a single item, and you're good to go. Then the upcoming features, before we run out of time, let me throw some light on the upcoming features that we have. As we were talking about the workloads, the new workloads that we are supporting. So we recently announced previews for SQL running in IES and also backup of Azure files. So these are the two new workloads that we are supporting. Apart from this, we also have 4TB disk support. So the customers can go ahead and take backups for their disks more than 1TB. New upcoming feature is then the user would be able to move his resource recovery services vault. That is the vault can be moved from across subscriptions and resource groups, which will give more agility to the users. keeping an eye on the security and the the requirement of more secure groups that the customers are asking for. Backup will also support VMs with storage access control lists in the coming months. Good news for hybrid customers, the data protection manager DPM customers that we have, is that we offer backup of VMware VMs through modern backup storage with Maps now. So it offers 3 times fast backups and also 50% saving on storage. So these are the new features and the upcoming features that we have for the upcoming months.
That's really good. That's a nice roundup of all the new features, Sonia. Thank you for that. This is really good stuff. I mean, definitely, you know, a lot of change since we last spoke about backup, as you said. And it's good to know that we're keeping, you know, keeping up with all the new enhancements in Azure. Hey guys, any more questions for Sonia on the topic of Azure backup?
Not for me. I mean, it's just nice to see it. Sorry, Cynthia, go ahead.
Oops, sorry. So I know we've been talking at pretty high level for enterprises and our customers. So at a personal level, so if I wanted to, say, back up my computer or back up my phone, is Azure Backup something we can utilize?
Yeah, so backup your computer is definitely a supported scenario where you can just, it is as simple as you just install an agent, which is a MARS agent, Microsoft Azure Recovery Services agent, and there's a simple process to install it and you are good to go. So you have a recovery services vault and the entire data. So what we call is backup of files and folders. So your entire laptop is secure once you're done with that scenario.
Awesome.
I didn't know
about that. Is there anything we can do with our phones?
For phones, I don't think currently we have a support, but yeah, this is a good advice that we should look forward to covering up phones as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Good question, Cynthia. Thank you for that. All right. Well, I think that's a good roundup of all the news. And, you know, if you have any links that you want to share, Sonia, just send them over to me. What we'll do is we'll add them to the show notes along with this podcast recording. And so our listeners will have that ready for access.
Sure. I'll do that.
Again, thank you so much for coming on today. And we look forward to having you again in the future sometime for another update.
Yeah, so let's do these sessions quite frequently so that we don't have so much to talk about that a half an hour session turns into a 1 hour session.
I agree. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys, for all the questions.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.